Hello, everyone, and welcome into this episode of the Bear Down Buzz podcast. As always, myself, Eli, joined by Joe and Isaac. Gentlemen, it is time to preview this matchup against the New England Patriots with a record of 2-7, the Bears at 4-4. And this will be a home game for the Chicago Bears. It takes place at Soldier Field. So that is, you know, that's been a storyline for Chicago these last few seasons. They have an excellent home record. So maybe we can get something done against the New England Patriots this week. But as always, Joe, unless you don't have it pulled up, then I also have it pulled up. But we can talk the injury report, and I'll toss it over to you.
Yeah. So Karan Abagaji has not practiced today or yesterday with a calf injury. Jaquan Brisker is still in concussion protocol. It's been now a month. So I know we talked about this last week, but it's now definitely time to be worried, because even Tua has returned from his concussion, and he has had way more of a history of concussions over the past two seasons than Brisker. And then Mercedes Lewis, his veteran rest day was today. Noah Sewell was limited Wednesday and then did not practice today or on Thursday with a knee injury. Darnell Wright did not practice either Wednesday or Thursday with a knee injury. Tyler Gordon has been limited both days with his hamstring, but it looks like he's on track to play. That's what it sounds like from pressers and stuff. Preston Jones did not practice on Wednesday and was limited on Thursday with a knee injury. Terrell Smith was limited both Wednesday and Thursday with a knee injury. Darrell Taylor was limited both Wednesday and Thursday with a knee injury. Ryan Bates has been a full participant in both days of practice this week. Also, this is also a thing to touch on because Shane Waldron talked about, he was asked today if Ryan Bates would take over for Coleman Shelton at center. And he kind of didn't really give an answer. He gave like a really confusing answer. Basically, the moral of the story was that they like Shelton. They're probably going to keep Shelton there because him and Caleb have chemistry. But we can talk about what you guys think about that in a little bit. And then Tevin Jenkins has been a full participant in both days this week with a knee injury. So he'll definitely play on Sunday. And then Montez Sweat with his shin injury was limited on Wednesday and was full today or full on Thursday. So he'll be back for Sunday, which is good because we saw how bad the Bears defense was last week without Montez Sweat. Well, yeah, he didn't play all last week, right? So he got injured the week before in Washington. Yeah, that's what happened. I don't know why I forgot about that. That's why their defense was not good last week. Part of the reason, at least. But yeah, what injuries on this list stuck out to you guys? I'll start with you, Isaac.
Yeah, the big one for me was, I don't know if you mentioned it, but Andrew Billings. I think he's out for the year, I believe, with a pec injury.
Sorry, I was going to mention those went over my head because they're not on the injury report, but Billings and Jalen Jones both have went to IR today. Billings is out the year with a pec injury. And then Jalen Jones, I don't think he's out the year. He might be back, but he's also a backup. So even if he does return, he's not going to make a huge impact. He does do special teams, though. So sorry, I cut you off, but I had to get that
in
there.
No, you're good. Yeah, definitely. And Eric Washington, the Bears offensive coordinator, was talking about losing Andrew Billings, and he basically said, you know, you can't replace a guy like that. And I definitely agree. I think Billings was having a tremendous year for the Bears, and he was a vital part of the defense. And it concerns me because we don't really have the best depth when it comes to defensive tackle. I know there were reports earlier that we were potentially looking to trade for one and stuff like that. It didn't work out. The good thing is we do have our third round pick from last season, Zach Pickens. He's back. This is really a chance for him to kind of showcase why he was such a high round pick. And the other thing is the tackles, Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright, both injured. It does sound like Braxton has a chance to play on Sunday, which is good. As for Darnell Wright, I feel like ever since last season, he's been dealing with different assortments of injuries. And if I was part of the Bears coaching staff, I would probably try to say, you know what, like, let's just give you as much time as you need to rest. Let's make sure you come back fully healthy, because Darnell Wright hasn't really played up to expectations this season. And I feel like, you know, he was a top 10 pick, and a lot of people seem to forget that. And for me, it's like, I would, you know, sit him for a couple games, make sure he's fully healthy, and then when he's back, because we're not really in a position right now to kind of be like in the contention for playoffs. I mean, I don't know how much the Bears coaching staff believes that they're still a playoff contending team, but I'm a little bit more on the pessimistic side, because those games against the Cardinals and the Commanders, we should have won, we could have won, and we didn't. I do like what I do like that Kyler Gordon is kind of coming back. Hopefully he plays on Sunday, because he did have a huge game against the Patriots last time we played them. And as for Brisker, it is concerning, because, you know, it really shouldn't take this long for a Brisker. And I get it, like, he's had an injury, a history of concussions, but it's getting concerning. And this is a guy who we were talking about last season. He was kind of in and out of series, he was getting injured here and there. And this season, it finally looked like things were heading in the right direction. And unfortunately, he had that collision with Tommy Tremble, and it was Tremble's fault. It wasn't Brisker. You know, it's just unfortunate, but hopefully he could come back soon and continue where he left off this season. And I'll toss it over to you, Eli, and your thoughts on this injury report.
Yeah, I'll just kind of pick up where you left off with Brisker, just simply because, you know, concussions are a huge deal. Like, you don't want to rush any player that suffers a head injury back too soon. But I don't typically think it takes this long. And from all things that we've heard from Chicago, which hasn't been a lot, I just wish there was more communication with this Bears staff in regards to what Brisker's dealing with. Like, you know, is it a brain bruise? Is it something this? Is it more than a concussion? Is there, you know, spinal involved with that kind of thing? And that's just something that another thing that this Bears coaching staff has kind of failed at, is kind of being more communicative with injury reports. You know, Flus always likes to say, oh, he's trending in the right direction, he's this, he's that, he's day to day, he's week to week. And you can kind of say that with players that he claims is day to day, it ends up being a week to week. And then week to week means they're going to be out for more than a week, and up to a month at times. So, in regards to Brisker, I wish we had a little more information, because it is scary, because he hasn't played since, I believe, October 6th, which would be over a month now. So, again, I don't think it was you mentioned that he does have an injury history with concussions, so that's obviously a factor, but I wish we had some more information there. But in regards to other injuries on this injury report, I like that we're seeing Raxton coming back, because it's just been a carousel there at left tackle since he's been out, with Caron and Matt Pryor and whoever they put there in that position. So that's trending in the right direction. I believe the report for Darnell Wright, if I'm not mistaken, was a potential MCL sprain. I don't know if that was ever confirmed, but that's I think that was the report there with Darnell Wright. So that's unfortunate. He won't play this week. But getting Kyler Gordon back would be a huge boost, obviously, for this secondary that's kind of struggled in the past 2 weeks. Sewell, more of just a depth piece, but always good to have healthy depth pieces for that linebacking core that's stayed healthy through the last 2 years. I don't want to jinx that, so knock on wood there. But Terrell Smith is another good depth piece that started last week and unfortunately suffered an ankle injury. So hopefully he can get back soon and provide us with some depth to keep this secondary healthy. And then I think another big one for me, obviously Montez Sweat being healthy is major for this defense. But if Darrell Taylor can't go, which he's been limited the past, excuse me, no, I was looking at the right name. Yeah, he's been limited the past 2 days. So he's been a diamond in the rough for this edge room. I'd say that's one of Hull's better recent moves. I believe he was traded. We traded a sixth round pick to Seattle for him, and he's blossomed in this defense. So it'll be good to have him back if he's ready to go. And then as for the conversation that you mentioned, Joe, with the switching centers out possibly with Ryan Bates and Coleman Shelton, regardless of where he's put, I do think that the Bears need to slide him into the starting rotation because he has experience at guard and center. So that's a unit that needs a much needed boost. So glad to see him healthy. And then obviously Jenkins, he's the solidified starter there when he's healthy. So it'll be good to have him back as well. But yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on the Bears injuries. Do you guys have any other things regarding those before I move on to New England's? All right. So if we move on to the New England Patriots injury report, Kyle Duggar, safety, did not practice on Wednesday or Thursday with an ankle injury. Christian Ellis, a linebacker, has an abdomen injury and did not practice the last 2 days as well. Jamichael Hasty did not practice on Wednesday, but this was not injury related. It was a personal day, and they don't have a specification, excuse me, for Thursday. So maybe he did practice today, or maybe he's just still out with a personal relation thing. Daniel Ikwale, I probably butchered that, but defensive end limited in practice the last 2 days with an abdomen, excuse me. Bedarian Lowe, offensive tackle, limited with a shoulder injury the last 2 days. Marte Mapu, a safety with a neck injury, limited. Laden Robinson, guard, limited on Wednesday, but practiced in full on Thursday with an ankle injury. Jacqueline Roy, seems like a defensive tackle, limited the last 2 days with a neck injury. Sione Taki-Taki, linebacker, limited in practice the last 2 days with a knee. Keon White, a major piece for them, the defensive end, limited in practice the last 2 days with a knee injury. And Alex Austin and Mike Jordan, a cornerback and a guard, were both full participants the last 2 days in practice with an ankle injury. So, Joe, I'll toss it to you first. Anything stick out to you major on this Patriots injury?
Yeah, the Kyle Duggar injury, like if he's out, that's one of the better players they have on defense. And if he's out against the Bears, that, I mean, it should help the Bears in the passing game, but you know, that doesn't always correlate, especially we saw that the past 2 weeks when we went against bigger defensive secondaries and the Bears still didn't do well. So, well, it should help the Bears if Duggar doesn't play. You never really know. And then, obviously, their offensive line injuries stick out to me just because their offensive line hasn't been good this year. So, the more, or if people are injured on that line, the more rotating they have to do means they're having another combination on their offensive line, which probably helps. Well, not probably, but which will help the Bears front seven. Well, front four really get to and affect Drake May, which is what the Bears will need to do to win this game. Which, yeah. Isaac, what is sticks out to you on this Patriots injury report?
Yeah, like you mentioned, Joe, Kyle Duggar's a huge one because he's one of the best players on the Patriots defense. And the other one to me is Keon White. If he's not able to go, then that's going to be a huge boost because he could do some serious damage, especially against this Bears offensive line. But like you mentioned, Joe, the Patriots offensive line is not good. The only player I know on the Patriots offensive line is Mike Iwanu, the right tackle, and a bunch. And I mean, I'm pretty sure Patriots fans would agree with me that they probably have the top two worst offensive line in the NFL. It's like probably them and another team, maybe the Titans or something, but it's not a good unit at all. And the only hope that the Patriots have, I feel like, to win this game is Drake May. I feel like if May has a huge game against the Bears, it's gonna be hard. I do think that we're gonna be able to have a good day on defense, especially because the Patriots have such a bad offensive line that even though we lost Andrew Billings and Darrell Taylor might be out, I feel like Montez Sweat and Javon Dexter Sr. are gonna be two players to keep your eye on the Bears offensive line because they are due for a huge day against the Patriots. And then the thing to me is like the Patriots have by far the worst offensive line that the Bears are gonna play this season. So maybe, give some other guys a little couple reps. I'm not talking about like Dummy Robinson type players, but I'm saying like let's give Austin Booker more reps, because he's a rookie and he has a lot of potential. And I feel like this game could be a game to showcase just that. And I would like to see a more rotation on the defensive line, especially with Austin Booker, because Austin Booker hasn't really been in as much as I would have liked personally. But besides that, I mean, the Patriots, they're not a good unit on both sides of the ball. So even with some injuries, it's gonna be hard for them, especially playing in Chicago. And these fans are gonna be rowdy. They're gonna be desperate for a win. And you know, I guess like this is the Patriots, yeah, but this is like the Bears fans, like no matter what, like no matter how much we've been through, we still want the team to win at the end of the day. And a lot of people are gonna say, oh, maybe it's time to just, you know, tank and then get another draft pick. But if we keep on staying stuck in this cycle where we're like mid-season, we're like, okay, let's just lose and then get a good draft pick. And then this next season, it's the same thing that happens. So I'm tired of it. And you know, maybe this could be the game where the Bears are like, okay, we still have a chance. Go into Green Bay, and then who knows what can happen from there. But I'll toss it back to you, Eli.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Just to kind of wrap up the injury report and perhaps transaction report, as I transition here, the Bears have signed on, this was on November 6th, the Bears signed defensive back Amir Speed to the active roster, and they signed running back Darrington Evans, a familiar name, to the practice squad after the Khalil Herbert trade to Cincinnati, which I guess we can kind of talk about for a minute. The Bears traded Khalil Herbert, running back. He was a third string, was made a healthy scratch all of most of this year, rather, and was traded for a seventh round pick to the Cincinnati Bengals, who will play on Thursday or are did play on Thursday night, excuse me. So your guys's kind of memory of Khalil Herbert, if any. I know he was a pretty decent back when he was with Monty, and whenever Montgomery was injured with Chicago, he filled in well. So your kind of memories of Khalil Herbert, if any. I'll start with you, Isaac. Your memories of Khalil Herbert.
You know, I really, first of all, I really liked Herbert. I'm really upset that we ended up trading him, especially for what we got back. I do think Foles probably sent Herbert to the best place possible. I think the Bengals are gonna help him kind of get his career back on track. But I was watching the highlights of the Patriots Bears game last time, and it was that Justin Fields like sidearm pass to Khalil Herbert for a touchdown. That was a really happy memory for me, because that season, that was a season that we went, what, 3-14, I think. And it wasn't a good season at all. But that Patriots game, especially against Bill Belichick, like winning in Foxborough, it was a really nice memory for me. So I would have to say that. What about you, Joe?
I mean, I think the thing that I'm gonna remember most about Khalil Herbert, especially after rewatching some of his highlights, is how he ran with power, but also, I mean, we know him because of his speed and his yards per rushing attempt being kind of that was in top 10 each time he actually got the chance to be a focus of the offense. But if you really watch his highlights, you see him power through tackles and like push downfield when he gets met, which I didn't quite remember right away, because all whatever whenever he gets brought up, it's his yards per rush and not really how he ran. But when you watch him run, he runs with power too. I mean, he is a speed guy, but he runs with power. He runs with more power than Swift does, but Swift is technically the more dynamic player. But yeah, I'll remember that. And then, I mean, this is not a happy memory. I think all of us will remember when he got hurt last year in Washington, because that was a brutal injury. But yeah, I'll miss him. I'm kind of upset that we only got seventh for him, but like, the market's the market. You can't really do anything about it. Apparently, the deal that since he had was on there up there since the offseason. So if his market hadn't really moved since the offseason, that just tells you what the league thinks of him.
Yeah, and it is unfortunate that the Bears couldn't get more, but I do agree that the market's the market. And, you know, it would have been worse for him to have left in free agency and not having gotten anything out of him. But I do think Cincinnati is a good fit, and I think that fan base will appreciate him for the talent he'll bring. I'm also a big Chase Brown guy, so it'll be interesting to see the backfield dynamic there in Cincinnati because Zach Moss had an injury. I can't remember what that injury was, but they needed to fill the depth there. And I will be surprised if he doesn't take the starting role. Just simply, I love Chase Brown again. He was a monster at Illinois, but I think Khalil Herbert just brings an extra oomph to an offense. So it'll be cool to see how Zach Taylor kind of uses those two backs in that offense. But regardless, we'll get back to the Chicago Bears matchup against the air. Excuse me, I'm still in last week mode in the New England Patriots this week. We kind of talked beforehand. This is not a very talented Patriots roster, obviously, compared to previous years that this Patriots organization has experienced. But, you know, we've kind of had this same conversation the last 2 weeks on paper. The last two rosters we thought the Bears matched up pretty well against, and we were pretty well embarrassed in both of those matchups. Now, I don't think the Patriots are anywhere near the team that Arizona or Washington are, but this is, for all intents and purposes, this is a game, and I know we've said it multiple times this year, but to me, this is a game that if the Bears want any hope of going anywhere this season, it is a must win, not only for their playoff chances, but also for Matt Eberflus's chances of having a job, which we'll also get into later past this season. But Joe, I'll start with you. This seems like a very beatable New England team. So, you know, it seems like we can attack this squad in any way we want to this week. But what specifically to you do you think the Bears should focus on to come out with a victory on Sunday against the Patriots?
So stopping the run, obviously, we've talked about this all year. The Patriots haven't had a great running game since week one. It's their only 100-yard rushing, 100 game with a 100-yard rusher in the season. Ramondre Stevenson crossed 100 yards that game since then. They haven't crossed 100 yards last week. Their three running backs combined for 15 yards on 12 carries. So, I mean, again, that was against the Tennessee defense that kind of shut us down in week one. But I think since week one, the Tennessee defense has kind of come back down to earth and not been as good as they were against us, which isn't surprising because everyone looks good against us, apparently. But yeah, they need to stop the run for sure. Make sure that Stevenson doesn't break off anything big or even hasty. Hasty's a decent back, and they have Antonio Gibson now too, who's more of a receiving back, but still. And then, I mean, we can attack this team any way we want to on offense. Certainly, the Patriots apparently don't give up a lot of big runs, but they will give you 4 to 5 yards of carry. So I know Shane Waldron doesn't love to run the ball. It looks see has seemed, for the most part, like for 3 weeks, we did pretty good. Since then, since the bye, we went back to not running the ball a lot or not being effective on the ground. But I think what we need to do is, even if it's only 4 to 5 yards of carry, it's 4 to 5 yards of carry, and we need to run the ball on the Patriots. Just make it so Caleb doesn't get hit like he was getting hit last week and the week before, and take some of the sacks. Take some of the hurt away from Caleb, because it is only his rookie season, and we don't want to. We're on the same trajectory of breaking the kid like we did past two quarterbacks. So just run the ball, even if you don't want to, Shane, please. It'll work, even if it doesn't, even if it's not explosiveness, it's going to work. So run the ball on offense. What about you, Isaac?
I mean, if this game goes how I think it's gonna go, the Bears should be able to take care of business pretty easily. And I'm only saying this because I'm not gonna be able to say this for any game after this one. It's a pretty brutal schedule for the Bears. So what I really want for them to do is to get everyone involved, right? So Cole Kmet has not been involved recently, and it pisses me off because he should be involved. He should be Caleb Williams' security blanket. And I was watching Waldron talk about that. He was kind of saying like this wasn't a plan thing. It just kind of didn't work out the way it was supposed to work out for Cole, but I think that's BS. I mean, it should be easier to get your tight end involved, especially one of Cole Kmet's caliber, in terms of skill. But to get him involved, to get, I love Swift, but to get Roshan a couple more carries, get all the wide receivers involved on defense, have a little bit of a better rotation where we have some of our younger guys getting more reps. That's what I would really like to see, because this should be an easy, not, I mean, not necessarily an easy win, but this should be one of the easier opponents that we're gonna play against this year. So I would like to see all of that. And then my thing is for Caleb Williams, like, I hope this week he gets his confidence back, because it kind of looks like his confidence was shaken a little bit, especially against the Commanders and then last week against the Cardinals. But hopefully he gets back on track. I hope that, he has this internal dialogue with himself. Like, I need to, I can't let like the coaching influence how I play. I need to play how I know I can play and go out there and show why you're the number one overall pick, because it was trending upward, and then all of a sudden the bye week came. After that, it's been going down. So I don't want it to continue going down. I want it to go up. And he knows that the schedule is going to be brutal, after this game. But take it one game at a time and look at this Patriots roster and tell yourself that you're capable of putting up multiple touchdowns, 300 plus passing yards, maybe even a rushing touchdown. We'll see. But that's really what I want to see. What about you, Eli?
Yeah, I am. I'm with you 100%. I'll go back to Joe's point of running the football, just simply because last week in the first half, Caleb, I believe, was already at 21 pass attempts, and that's a total game for a lot of quarterbacks in this league. So run the football, get your offense into a rhythm, and when you get into the red zone, don't be cute. Run the football if you're within the five. And then use your goal line back in Roshon Johnson and get into the end zone and stop limiting yourself to 3 points here or stalled drives in the red zone that end up, you take a 15-yard sack and get out of field goal range or get out of touchdown range within the red. You find yourself out of the red zone is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, just run a simple offense against a team that has struggled against the run and the pass this season. I'll bring up the rushing yards allowed on average for the Patriots this season, just over 136 yards per game on the ground, with 10 touchdowns allowed on the ground as well. So we talked about it. We can attack them whichever way we want, but why make your rookie quarterback struggle? I mean, that is the most cliche thing for a rookie quarterback, is let him develop by running the football. Make it simple for him. And when you have those open shots, because the defense is committed to the run, get those simple 10 to 15 yard gains that Caleb's been capable of doing this season. You don't have to scheme the offense to where he has to take a 20 to 30 yard shot every five plays because you find yourself in a hole. And I don't think that's going to be the case this Sunday, but make the offense simple against an inferior opponent. And once you start to rack up the score, maybe try to test some things out on offense that you've struggled with. Give yourself a bit of a tune-up game. But again, if you want it to be that way and you don't want it to be a game in which you struggle, just run a simple offense, use DeAndre Swift the way you have been. And when you get into the red zone, use the back that's intended for it. And if I see Doug Kramer in the backfield one time throughout this game, I'm not going to be happy. So that's kind of my thought process there.
Okay. The only thing I'll
Yeah,
push
go
back
ahead.
on you, the Kramer's okay to be in the backfield. Don't hand the ball to him. You can block. Don't hand the ball to him again. Unless we're
There
up
you
by,
go.
if we're up by 28, sure. But if we're not, don't do it.
That's what I meant to say. 100%. I agree. If he's a lead blocker, yeah, that's awesome, because he's gonna make room for you. And whoever's behind him, sure, take the ball all you want, but keep it out of his hands. That play, as soon as that happened, it should have been, someone should have got a lighter and lit that play call on fire on the sideline and never see it again. Again, unless you're up by 20 to 30 points. I completely agree. But defensively, for this Patriots squad, excuse, well, for the Bears to defend this Patriots offense, some of the names we can look at here are Kendrick Bourne, Kayshon Booty, Javon Baker, Jalen Polk, DeMario Douglas, and then Joe, I believe you mentioned it earlier, Ramondre Stevenson, Antonio Gibson, and Jamichael Hasty. Not a bad backfield, but nothing to write home about, of course. But again, this Bears defense, if they want to improve, stop the run and let your secondary do the work that they have been. And because Drake May, in the limited time we've seen him this season, he's made some impressive plays, but he is also kind of reckless right now because he doesn't have the starting experience that most of the rookies have had this season. So he's bound to make some mistakes. I believe that game ended in overtime against Tennessee on a questionable pass. I believe he threw it into double coverage, and Tennessee ended up winning that game. So there's going to be opportunities for this secondary to come away with turnovers this week. It's just a matter of if they're in the right position to capitalize and if our defensive line gets enough pressure this week, which I believe we can all agree probably will, with as not a lot of talent that the New England offensive front has right now. So Isaac, are there any offensive names on this Patriots squad that might give us concerns, if any? And if so, then who?
That's a good question. I don't honestly I don't think anyone besides Drake May. And I am interested to see the matchup with Montez Sweat and Michael Iwuanu because he Iwuanu's a right tackle. And I believe Sweat lines up more on the left side, right? You guys could correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he's more on the left side. So that's gonna be an interesting matchup because that kind of frees up whoever's the other edge rusher to go up against. Probably the Patriots, maybe third or fourth string left tackle at this point. So I mean, it feels kind of bad, but I honestly, like for offense, I think Drake May is the only player we really have to worry about. And if someone has, a 100-yard game, a 100-yard rushing game, I don't know if that's gonna be able to beat us necessarily. I think it's gonna come down to whether Drake May is gonna come out and do what he did, kind of, that play last week against the Titans. It was like the last play of the game, and he threw up a ball for a touchdown. I was like, no way he made that. But I mean, I don't think anyone really comes to mind for me. What about you, Joe?
I wouldn't say there's anyone we needed to be scared about, but Kendrick Bourne's a pretty good player, so keep an eye on him. He's not like a game breaker, but he's decent. And then, yeah, like I said earlier, and like Eli said, they have a decent backfield. I mean, Ramondre Stevenson hasn't been really doing well this season, but each one of those guys has talent and is good. I mean, Hasty has been a backup his whole career, but when the time that we've seen him, at least in San Fran, he looked good, although most running backs look good in San Fran, so it's not really anything to be surprised by. And then Gibson, like I said earlier, is just really a receiving back. So yeah, just I guess really Kendrick Bourne is a player to watch on their offense, but and then Drake May, because Drake May is not only passing the ball decently. He's also using his legs. So basically to run, watch out for May running the ball, because they didn't really deal with Jaden Daniels well 2 weeks ago. And then Murray didn't really do much last week because they literally just ran the ball with the running backs on our throats. But I watched Drake May run the ball on you. But yeah, that's the two players I would watch on their offense. I'll pass it back to you, Eli.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think there's no star, there's no superstar on this Patriots team that, the Bears really have to key in on. It's rather just playing the defense that you're able to play against what the offense is going to show you. So, the other thing, one more thing I was going to mention is that Kayshon Booty has struggled to start his career, but I believe they're trying to get him more involved as a deep threat, which is his specialty. So that, we'll probably see an occasional deep shot, to which the Bears have kind of struggled a little bit this season. We've seen several plays, one to Terry McLaurin and then Alec Pierce against the Colts. Jalen Johnson got burnt somehow on that play. So that's an aspect of this Patriots offense that, we might see. So that's something to just kind of just pay attention to. But I don't think it's going to be one of those things that the Bears need to be super cautious about, but it's something to consider. We kind of talked about New England and the players that we need to potentially watch, but let's shift to Chicago this week. We've mentioned earlier that Andrew Billings is out for probably the entire season with a pec injury. Those take a while to recover from, and I believe he's already had surgery on that. So for Chicago, what is one player for you this week, whether on offense or defense, that you think Bears fans should watch out for, whether it's a bad game, a fill-in game, or a breakout game potentially? And Isaac, I'll start with you. Rather on offense or defense, who is a Bears player that you think people should watch out for this week?
You know, one player that is going to have my attention is Ryan Bates because he only played a limited amount week one and he hasn't played since then. And this is a guy that Ryan Poles has been interested in for a while now. He was trying to trade for him, try to sign him, the Bills matched, and then we finally get him now. I think he could be part of the long-term solution on offensive line. I don't know if it's going to be at center or it's going to be at right guard, but it's going to be interesting to see how he plays. That's my guy on offense. And then for defense, I would say, gosh, that's a good question. I would say Montez Sweat, just because he's been battling injury and it finally looks like he's healthy for the first time because he's been on the injury report pretty much every week. And it's been what either limited participation, did not practice, stuff like that. So I want to see him go up against this Patriots offensive line that isn't, the best, and see if he's going to be able to have a breakout game, maybe 2 to 3 sacks, and just keep an eye out for him. What about you, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this guy a lot. I'm going Zach Pickens. I mean, he's has to fill in for Billings the rest of the year. If he can't do anything against this bad offensive line, then I don't think he has any hope to do anything against anyone else we play this year, which sucks to say because I don't want to give up hope on him because he hasn't really played a lot this year. In his second year, you'll learn a lot from your rookie in the second year. But if you can't do anything against a bad Patriots offensive line, I don't think you're going to be able to do anything against the Packers offensive line, which is decent. The Lions offensive line, who's the best in the league. Maybe the Vikings offensive line, because their interior kind of isn't that good. But then you play San Fran, who has a pretty good offensive line still. And then Seattle's other offensive line that isn't too good. But again, if you can't do anything against Seattle this week, I don't think you're going to be able to do anything at all. So let's hope he gets to Drake May up the middle. Him and Dexter both combined to get to Drake May up the middle. And I don't really have anybody for off on offense. Because I mean, kind of got to watch for all of the guys because they're all pretty upset that they haven't been playing well on offense. So yeah, how about you, Eli?
Yeah, I think we were on the same wavelength there because my answer was going to be Zach Pickens as well, just because of the absence of Andrew Billings. And there's not really anyone there to fill in aside from maybe Chris Williams, who we've heard his name a little bit throughout the past few weeks. But I completely agree. If Zach Pickens wants to kind of be a part of this long-term solution on that defensive front, this would be the week to kind of show that you have potential and build off of that in weeks to come. But obviously, if he doesn't produce this week against an inferior offensive line, then it's not looking good for his future with Chicago. But offensively, I will say DJ Moore, just simply because of everything that surrounded him these past few weeks, the drama, the skepticism on his effort, the whole situation with him limping off the sideline, and people said he quit on the play. Whatever your opinion is on that, there's drama surrounding that. So maybe this will be a week for him to kind of remind people of the caliber of a player he is. We can only hope that that is the case. If he looks to be blanketed with this weaker Patriots secondary, then conversations will start to be difficult surrounding DJ Moore, and that's not what we want as Bears fans right now. So I'm going to say DJ Moore this week. Hopefully, it can be my performance reminds people that we paid him for a reason, and Again, hopefully he can have that type of performance this week. But kind of moving on from the Patriots conversation, we are 4-4 on the season, and the past 2 weeks we went from playoff aspirations to wanting the head coach of the Chicago Bears on the outs, because now we're 4-4 and the seat seems to be very hot right now. So, Isaac, I will ask you first. There's been reports that we kind of talked about beforehand that Matt Eberflus either has a fifth or a sixth year on his contract. I can't remember what number we said there, but and it was reported that a 5-year contract. So it was reported that he has a 5-year contract and that no matter what happens this season, that he would be retained for next year, which, you hear that and it's alarm bells going off in your head because we spent most of the last episode just tearing Matt Eberflus to pieces, and rightfully so, in my opinion. But I'll start with you. If this Bears team loses against this Patriots team, do you think that changes the conversation at all around Matt Eberflus? And do the Bears, historically consider getting rid of him midseason? And just in general, does the conversation change around Matt Eberflus if they lose this game?
So if the Bears lose on Sunday against the Patriots, I do think that there's going to be a conversation with ownership in the front office. However, we've been hearing reports about, I don't know if they're going to be able to fire Eberflus midseason. It just seems like it's not going to happen no matter what. And it sucks because you look around the league and you see teams that move off from their head coach, and I mean, it's the right move because they haven't really helped the team at all. And I've shared my opinion on this podcast and through my articles. I am not the biggest Matt Eberflus fan. I think he should go, and it's really unfortunate that I had to wake up and see the reports from Brad Biggs and on Adam Rank's podcast where the indications are that no matter what happens, Eberflus is going to stay as a head coach. And I was taking some time to really think about it, because I was mentioning earlier in a previous episode about the Bears being stuck in a cycle of mediocrity, right? Where it's we draft a rookie quarterback, and then the year after we fire the head coach, and then it's the same thing. It happened with John Fox and Mitch Trubisky. It happened with Matt Nagy and Justin Fields. And now it was looking to happen with Caleb Williams and Matt Eberflus. But, maybe the Bears were really thinking about this, and we're like, you know what? Like, we don't want to do this thing again, because maybe they know that Ben Johnson doesn't want to come to Chicago. Maybe they know that the head coaching pool or of candidates is not good this offseason. And maybe they just, want to be cheap. If that's what they want to do, then that's fine. That I mean, we as fans can't really have a say in this, but I honestly like I would try to give an opportunity to someone else. I feel like Eberflus, just there's too many things that I've noticed, or fans in general have seen from him, that it's not winning. It's not gonna help us go anywhere. I mean, the fact that he's 0-18 on the road on Sunday, I don't think anyone's gonna ever be able to get up to that record and still be a head coach. Like, it's crazy because the Bears are just gonna that record is probably gonna be a thing for the rest of life, basically. Like, I don't think anyone's gonna let a head coach, be 0-18 on the road and be like, you know what? Let's give this guy one more year. We'll see how he does. Give him another chance. But yeah, like I said, I just don't think that Eberflus should be the head coach in the offseason. And it's going to be really disappointing because the reality is he's probably going to stay as the head coach at this point. But like you said, Eli, like if the Bears lose, I mean, I don't want the Bears to lose necessarily on Sunday, but I hope that there's something that goes on where there starts to be a conversation with the ownership. And I hope there's someone with a brain and ownership or the coaching, that goes up and says, we can't do this anymore. Like, this guy can't be the head coach. We need to start over. And I mean, I don't know if it's gonna be Kevin Warren. I don't think it's gonna be Ryan Poles because it looks like he's buddy buddy with Matt Eberflus. But yeah, those are just my thoughts. And I'll toss it over to you, Joe, on this.
But yeah, the reason.
Joe, I think you might have. Yeah, there you
Yeah, I
go.
was muted. The reasoning that I've heard for why Eberflus was given a fifth year was because he pitched it himself because he knew they were going to be doing a teardown in year one. And he was like, okay, we're doing a teardown in year one. I deserve a fifth year, especially if we're going to draft it, end up drafting a quarterback at some point. Now, obviously, they didn't know that that's what they were going to do. But I mean, they didn't know, but they probably knew because typically teams, typically coaches, at least have a shot with somebody. Coaches and GMs, you typically have a shot with somebody that they actually drafted. So like the reasoning makes sense. That it makes sense for why he has a fifth year. You want to not do what you've been doing, except the fact that Flus hasn't looked like a good head coach. He just hasn't. And we've talked about that last episode. If they lose this weekend against the Patriots, I do think that talks actually do start to get hotter in Dallas. Hopefully Kevin Warren comes in and is like, okay, this is unacceptable. We cannot be doing this. And that even if they don't fire him in season, they put him like, hey, you gotta at least it's the same one totally did last year to keep your job. I mean, they probably were hoping at the beginning of the season that they'd be more than 7 wins this year. But I think the minimum for him, if they lose this weekend, if the minimum for him to keep a job would be 7 wins. And we've talked, who said this, their schedule gets really tough after this week. So I don't know if 7 wins is possible if they don't win this week. But yeah, I don't think, I think he'll stay after this year, which I don't, none of us want. Some reporters don't want that. So other people like understanding they're okay with it, even though Foose hasn't done the best, giving them the benefit of the doubt. But yeah, it's a weird situation because everyone, literally everybody, was like, if Foose doesn't do well, even if Foose, not if Foose doesn't do well, but even if he ends up doing okay the rest of the season, they should talk about firing him after what has happened the past 2 weeks. But after that report came out Wednesday, everyone was like, oh, well, maybe that's not actually going to happen now. And maybe we should be afraid. But, well, not afraid, but I'm putting the word afraid out there because, it scares me. But yeah, that's my thoughts. How about you, Eli?
Yeah, I would just say that it's been a long time, and I'd really have to rack my brain to think of a head coach with this long of a leash. And to the original conversation of, he was made aware that this was going to be a complete teardown and rebuild. My argument to that is the fact that if you're hiring a guy to hopefully be your long-term head coach, I don't understand hiring him the year of a major rebuild to where the team is going to be bad. And I feel like that was made with the hope that Matt Eberflus would turn out to be a great head coach and, raise them from the ashes and rebuild this roster and make them a competitive team. But that just hasn't been the case. So my answer to that is kind of like, okay, well, why wasn't he just a 3-year guy to where, okay, it's 2022, we're bad. 23, it's a rebuilding year. And this year would be the year to kind of show and to show if this team can be competitive. And that really hasn't been the case. So if it were me, I would have given him those 3 years and say, tough luck, show us that you're the head coach of the future. And if you don't, then you're gone. And for most, I feel like that's an easy decision that he would be gone at the end of this year if the record doesn't show that this team is primed to make a leap in year 4. And right now, under Matt Eberflus, that doesn't feel to be the case. So I feel like it would be an easy decision to drop him after this season. But a lot of football left. But from what we've seen, it doesn't feel like that's going to happen, that this leap is going to happen. So I would get rid of him at the end of the year, and the whole conversation around his contract is kind of interesting. We could talk about Matt Eberflus for the rest of eternity, but we can kind of move into our score predictions for this game. I will start off. I do think that the Bears end the losing streak, and whatever your thoughts on wanting the Bears to lose or what have you, I just don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to go 24 to 10 in favor of the Bears. I do think there's a drive in which Drake May looks like a starting caliber quarterback and gives Patriots fans a little bit of hope moving forward, because I do think Drake May can be a good quarterback. But I do think this is the week that the Bears figure out some things offensively against a bad defense and maybe get themselves into a rhythm. Isaac, I'll move on to you. Your score predictions for this matchup.
I was thinking about this when choosing a score prediction, but I wanted 1 week to just have like a random score. Like it like the what doesn't make sense, but it's gonna end up, maybe it'll end up being true. But I have the Bears winning 25-9. I don't know if I necessarily think that's gonna be happen, but it'll be nice to have like a wacky score for once. And what about you, Joe?
Okay, so we this past 2 weeks have been really bad at picking games. Obviously, all of us are 0-2. I think one of those 2 weeks, one of us should have picked the opposite team. Saying like that makes me kind of want to pick the Patriots, but I don't think they're going to win. They're just their roster isn't good enough to beat us, and Steph has said that last week against the Cardinals. I we didn't say that as much against them, against the Commanders, because they at least have a good offense. Apparently, they had a good defense too that week. That I guess, again, this is a conversation we could have had earlier, but somehow the Giants scored 21 points on them, and we only scored freaking 12, or yeah, 15. But well, that was we scored 15, and we should have a better offense than the Giants. But whatever, we can toss that to the side for now. But yeah, I think the Bears win this game. Like, let's say it. I don't want it to be close, but knowing the Bears is going to be closer than it should. I heard this floating around 21-16. Now, I don't want that. I don't think any of us want that. But just because we don't want it, I can see it happening.
Yeah, I completely agree. We have kind of screwed ourselves with our score predictions in the last 2 weeks. But I just it and again, I feel like we've said this too. It just feels like a game that the Bears should win pretty easily. But that's not always the NFL any given Sunday. But in regards to your score, Isaac, I was curious. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of scoreigami, but it is a unique score, obviously, for those that don't know. It's a unique score in the NFL that's never occurred. Looking up 25-9. This has only happened one other time, so you won't get the scoregami if it happens. But the Houston Texans and the Baltimore Ravens on September 10th of 2023, the Baltimore Ravens beat the Houston Texans 25-9. So not a scoregami, but an extremely rare igami if that were to occur. So we can kind of move on into other NFC North matchups, which will be just the Lions and Vikings this week since the Packers are on a bye. We'll start with the Sunday night matchup, the Lions and Texans. I'm not sure where this is being played. It will be in Houston. So, Joe, I'll start with you, your prediction for the Lions Texans game.
And this is interesting because Houston does not have their top two receivers. They only really have one receiver that has proven to be good. I say top two. Down Stephon Diggs for the year, and then Nico Collins is still out. Nico Collins is number one. Stephon Diggs was brought there to be their number three, but he kind of took over that number two role while Collins was still healthy. So it's like I don't really know because the Texans can run the ball. The Lions just traded for Preston, not the Darius Smith. I almost said the wrong Smith. Other Smith is went to Pittsburgh. But that Zadarius Smith, they traded for Zadarius Smith to replace, but not really to be a replacement for Hutch, but not really because no one could do what Hutch does. But I would like to pick the Texans. I just don't think they have enough on offense right now with Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs out to beat the Lions. I think the Lions will be able to cut down both Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, and also run the ball down their throats. So I'll go Detroit. I'll go close game though. 24-17. Or well, 24-20. Because 7 points really isn't that close of a game.
I
How
could
about
go.
you, Isaac?
Yeah, I could go next. I'll keep it short. I don't think I can bet against Detroit right now. I feel like even though we're Bears fans, we've been choosing them a lot this season, and rightfully so. They've been one of the best teams in the NFL. And not having Nico Collins on the field is going to be a huge thing for the Texans. I don't know they're going to be able to rebound without him, especially against this Lions team. So my score prediction for this game is going to be 27 Detroit, 24 Houston. What about you, Eli?
So I'm going to go with the monumental upset here. Just, I don't really believe it's going to happen, but just for the sake of conversation, CJ Stroud has struggled the last few weeks, and this Texans offense just hasn't looked like it has in the past. I'm going to give this to the Texans just simply because I think Detroit is waiting on a game for them to kind of come back down to earth. And I don't think that the Tampa game this season was that game. I think Tampa's a good team and they were healthy at the time. And when that Tampa Bay team is healthy, I think they're right up there with anybody. So it wasn't a matchup that
Hell, even when
it
they're not
did.
healthy, they could go toe to toe with anybody. They showed that on Monday night against the only undefeated team left in the NFL.
And that's what I'm saying. Baker is just, he's an arguable MVP candidate this season. And that was just a game that they matched up well against Detroit. And I don't think that's necessarily the same case this week, but I believe in CJ Stroud, and I think this is a week to where he kind of gets back on track. And give me 27-24 Texans on a field goal. How about that? I like that. But moving on, after this, we have the Vikings and Jaguars, which to me would have been an interesting matchup, but it seems like Trevor Lawrence is not going to be good to go this week, and Mac Jones is going to take the start there. So yeah, I don't trust Mac Jones in any offense, let alone the Jaguars offense right now. So I'm taking the Vikings in a tune-up game for them. I'm going to say Vikings 24, Jaguars 13. And Joe, I'll toss it to you on that one.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't have T-Law, I don't think their offense is going to score more than like 10 points. Because even with T-Law, they haven't been scoring a lot. So let's go 27 to 10 Vikings. I think since they won't have T-Law, their Vikings offense or defense won't struggle like they did. I mean, they kind of didn't really start. They didn't really struggle last week. They kind of stopped Joe Flacco. And then the previous 2 weeks before that they were struggling. So I think their defense finally is an actual good game. I mean I guess again they did have a decent game last week, but they actually have a defensive game like they had in the first 5 to 6 weeks of the year. Was I guess what I mean to say. So yeah, 27-10 the Vikings. How about you, Isaac?
Yeah, this game, I mean, if Trevor Lawrence was playing, maybe it could have been a trap game, but I don't think so, especially with Mac Jones playing. So for me, I was looking at this matchup, and it's a Brian Flores-led defense against a Mac Jones-led Jacksonville Jaguars offense. So I don't think it's going to be a fun one. I actually am probably not going to tune into that one at all unless it pops up on Red Zone. But besides that, I would say maybe 17-3 Vikings win. And as a Justin Jefferson fantasy owner, I hope he has a big game, and I do think he will against the Jaguars defense, so we'll see.
Yeah, I was not going to take the upset in that one. That's just anything involving Mac Jones. Even his rookie season, I was never a Mac Jones guy. So, God bless Jaguars fans this week. Hopefully, they can see something from that offense this week, but I just don't think it's going to happen. But you guys have anything else regarding our matchup against the Patriots or anything in the NFC North this week? All right, so we will close it out asking you to please go like our shorts, follow us on social media, on YouTube. Be sure to listen to these full episodes. Again, watch our TikToks, everything content related with us. Check out these guys' articles. They write great content as well. But with that being said, I think we're going to close it out. And we said it the last 2 weeks. Hopefully, we can be back after a Bears victory. You know, we're 0-2 in the last two. So, again, hopefully we can come back with a victory. And if not, then there's going to be a whole lot more of Matt Lefebvre's talking. I don't think any of us really want to keep doing that. So, with that being said, this has been the Bear Down Buzz Podcast, and we will see you.